Off the Ball on News Talk 106 to 108.
I'm prepared to end it and I can't.
Well, do it then.
Come play again.
Do it then. What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should it be an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
Oh. I can't see him.
Whoa, you're on air. What were you going to say?
No, I was just continuing the Tiger Woods.
Hey, you're on air. What were you going to say about Tiger? Go on. Is it all right to say?
Of course. No, I was going to say, great to see him back in contention this year, particularly one of the...
But you would start saying, I can't see.
No, well, I can't make an argument for it in terms of where he's coming from, in terms of his injury record and his form to a certain extent. I mean, you can't.
But it's all changed. He got his back fused.
Well,
he got a back fusion last year, which was the first time he went for that operation.
Yeah, but how many back operations has he had, Joe, in total? I know you're saying this
back
is a fusion's
different ballpark. Davis Love the third. Davis Love the third had awful neck problems and then got the fusion and came back and won on tour aged 51. And Tiger, for the first time, he didn't want to get the back fusion because it does limit your mobility. He got the fusion done. So for the first time in the last 5-6 years, he's been in no pain. And the crucial thing is his ball speed is back up to top 10, top 20 level on the PGA Tour. So for the first time, he's actually genuinely back physically.
No, that's a fair point, but it's still...
It's not a fair point, it's a fact.
Yeah, it's a fact. And it's a fair point in terms of your argument that he can get back to a level where he can...
force you to admit that I'm right about something. Can't disagree with one.
No, you're not going to be right until he actually competes in the latter stages of a major competition.
Well, that is another step, but he will make the cut, that's for sure, and it's small steps. He was pulling out of tournaments before. Yeah. He'll make the cut this weekend. He finished top 25 a couple of weeks ago. He'll finish top 25 again, maybe top 20, and I think come Masters time.
Oof,
Kenny. Now, for the podcast listeners, this is The Football Show. Kenny Cunningham is with us, as he has been all evening. If you're just getting us on podcast, he's had an up and down evening, Kenny. He started very well. There was some excellent talk on the food he missed when he was in Diggs in the UK. For me, that was the high watermark. There was some fine questions to James Horncastle pre-Juventus Spurs, where I thought Kenny asked some very nicely crafted questions, actually, just as a fellow broadcaster. And then things took a nosedive around the 8:30 mark when Kenny, after eating his burrito, first time he's eaten a burrito, we got him a burrito this evening.
On your recommendation, Joe.
And you said it was decent.
Decent.
A bit too creamy.
Yeah, too creamy. Far too rich.
Okay. But then he spilled his cup of tea all over the desk.
Oh.
Everywhere.
JP wasn't happy, was he?
These microphones are only worth about 500 quid.
Not anymore.
You nearly took out two of them. So that was a low point, but we found some kind of equilibrium. Here we are at 9:10. And that is the story of the evening. And you've just had a latte, which I made for you, and a Thunder's apple tart.
Yeah, it was left over. Can't let that go to waste, can you?
So you're in good form now, I'd say.
I'm back up to speed. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good. So for the podcasters, I know you've been kind of here all evening. Man City are still 4-0 up on Basel, but for the Football Show podcasters and listeners who haven't heard you in some time, we're 68 minutes into this Juventus-Spurs game. It's been really, really good stuff. Juve are still leading 2-1. You felt all evening, pretty much after the first 15, 20 minutes, that there's goals to be had here for Spurs.
Yeah, and just the nature of the game as well, Joe. You know, open game, you know, both teams looking to spread the pitch, big spaces appeared, and when teams win it back, you know, spaces to drive into. And Spurs playing with a lot of confidence after that initial 10, 15 minutes shows how they've matured as a team over the past couple of years under Pochettino. This is a really well-drilled outfit now. I know they're not serial winners, Joe, in terms of trophies, but they're a really impressive outfit now. In terms of kind of cohesion, how they play, understanding of each other's positions, etc. So they didn't panic and just played their way back into the game.
You really rate Pochettino?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him. Yeah, I am a big fan because...
I say that because when Leicester won the league and we did the Kennys, which you no longer will do.
Subscribe to it.
Yeah, but when you were agreeable to doing the Kennys.
I'm never agreeable, Joe, you know that.
The year Leicester won, you actually gave Pochettino your manager of the season, I remember.
Yeah. I think it's amazing what he's doing down there, Joe. If you look at the kind of net spend during the time he's been there, it's absolutely ridiculous, like, you know, well, what I mean? And people talk about Spurs at the moment.
It helps when a £100 million striker comes through your youth system.
Yeah, but you bring him through. Well, and you play a part in his development.
Did he though?
I think he did partially, because I think you look at the improvement in a number of players at that club. It can't be just coincidence that it's all happened under the stewardship of Pochettino and his immediate coaching staff as well.
Fair enough.
And people talk about Spurs having to go and bring in some world class players to get to that next level. And I think they've got world class players in this team already. They've developed them themselves from inside.
Who's world class there for you?
Well, for me, Harry Kane. Mm-hmm. I think Alderweireld and certainly Vertonghen this year is up to that standard as well. As a partnership, them two are as good as absolutely anything. Danny Rose, when he gets his head straight in the left back position, I think Wanyama and Dembele potentially in centre midfield is as good as anything.
Okay.
Like I said before, they were the only pairing I saw last year got the better of Kante and Matic for me, head on. Mm. So I think there's plenty there. Eriksen, you know, he was linked to Barcelona. Some people chuckled at it, but they shouldn't have, because he's good enough to play in that company as well. So
Dele Alli, you didn't mention.
Yeah, Dele Alli as well. I'm a huge fan of him. He's only going to get better. So for me, they already have a team of world-class players. They're on their way.
We'll obviously keep an eye on this game. Man City are cruising. They're 4-0 up away to Basel. I mean, they're just making light work of so many teams at the moment, Man City. I wanted to just get your thoughts briefly for a few minutes on the Manchester United situation, losing to Newcastle and Mourinho for the second time. We touched on this last night, so I won't spend too much time on it, but for the second time in three games, whipping off Pogba. And in a game they're trailing, in games they go on to lose, the Spurs game at Wembley and Newcastle at the weekend. And I'm sure you noticed at Wembley in the Spurs game, he dragged Pogba over to the sideline, was really pointing at Matic in these wide open spaces, and you know, and it's almost the very public nature of the way Mourinho is addressing the Pogba situation. It just seems odd. It seems like it's creating a weird dynamic.
I agree with you.
It's hard to know what's going on there. Like, it's almost like Mourinho's paving the way for him to kick Pogba out of the club in the summer and sell him and say he wasn't right for me. Oh, we've had a goal! 2-2. Eriksen. Wow. Is it Eriksen? I think Buffon's thrown that into the net. Not deliberately, obviously. I'm not making any allegations.
I wasn't watching the job. I was totally amazed.
You were gripped by my question.
Yeah.
So Dele Alli wins a free kick. Oof, just about.
Cellini.
Eriksen, right foot. Wrong foot's Buffon, who takes a step to his left, and Eriksen goes low to his right.
Yeah, but it's one of those classics. People are going to be hammering Buffon, you know. But you know, if Eriksen had to put that ball over the wall into the other corner of the net, people would have been saying, why wasn't he shifting to his left already on his way?
Buffon got a big hand to that. Buffon, he got a bit of a hand.
Look, Buffon's not the keeper that he was 10 years ago. He's a shadow of the goalkeeper. Let's get that straight. People have been over-talking his quality, his performances for the past couple of seasons. He's not as athletic, as mobile. His reactions aren't as quick as they were. Vastly experienced, yes. Still a good goalkeeper and a massive presence within the football club, yes. But nowhere near the level that he was a couple of years ago. That's probably a small example of it there.
Yeah.
But I'm not having the argument as well. People are going to say, well, look, he took a big step to his left, then he couldn't get back. Well, you have to, because keepers are expected to do both. If the ball goes over the wall, they've got to be there to get across the goal and get a hand to it. And if they do that, then they leave themselves open for almost a double bluff, which is exactly what Eriksen did. He opened his right foot up as if he's going to hit it over the ball, then wrapped his foot around it at the last minute and actually put it into the side of the goal where Buffon was stood. And if you're accurate enough and you hit it hard enough, that can be very difficult to save.
And do you like your keepers to gamble and take a step, or do you prefer that whole the wall do its job?
No, I don't. I don't. My preference, to be honest, there's no right or wrong. My preference would be, at times, against players of this quality, the likes of Eriksen, and there's a number of them around, both in England and on the continent, absolutely experts now in this area of the pitch. 20, 25 yards from goal, centre, left, right, centre. Invariably now, 7-8 times out of 10, they're finding the target. And not just finding the target, but put it into the right areas. So for me, you've got to find a better option than patting your keeper on the back and saying, all the best.
Okay.
Yeah, just take a guess which side, use your intuition, just gamble. Hopefully you'll get over to that side of the goal and save it. I think you have. For me, I still haven't heard a better argument than putting the defender on one post. Yeah. And that seems pretty almost Neanderthal, and people kind of laugh at it. And people make counter-arguments in terms of maybe opposition flooding the box with players, which they will to a certain extent. But for me, that's a better option than leaving the likes of Eriksen in that area of the pitch with the ball at his feet, looking at the goal and thinking, either side for me, no problem.
Okay, fair point. So anyway, back to my point, as Man City must score here again. Oh, it's an unbelievable save. Still 4-0 City, but they're tearing Basel apart. Does it seem to you like Mourinho is instigating something very public with a view to getting rid of Pogba? Or what is your read on a very strange situation?
No, I agree with you on what you're saying in terms of public nature. Obviously, if he's looking to make a statement. I read it more, Joe's, in terms of, you know, nobody's safe in this team. I expect a certain standard from every player, regardless of who you are. I'm the boss. Mm. I'm the one that matters. Nobody's kind of bigger than me. As opposed to it's actually leading up to Pogba leaving the football club. I don't think that's the case. They can't afford to have Paul Pogba out of the team, because we saw the Manchester United when Pogba was out of the team for about 4 or 6 week period, Joe, wasn't it, early in the season? They were a shadow of the team than when Pogba was in the team, because any creative edge that they have, particularly that central area of the pitch, it disappears when he's not in the team. Mm. So the answer for me is not whether Pogba plays or stays. Pogba has to play. It's how you build a team pretty much around them. And that's Mourinho's problem, I feel. We probably had this conversation earlier in the season in terms of Mourinho's preferred system of play. I still think it's 4-3-3 with three natural central midfield players. And I just don't think he's got it. He's got Matic, he's got Pogba, but he hasn't got the third.
Okay, so that's why he's sticking with the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Carrick came on the weekend, did he, for Manchester United? Pogba came up. Yeah. Well, for me, in that situation, Pogba never comes off, particularly if you're chasing the game. You've got to create opportunities. He's your most creative player. He's the only one capable of getting the ball and finding those front three players high up the pitch and getting them in on goal. So for me, Carrick comes on, Pogba stays on with Matic and plays 10, 15 yards higher up the pitch. For me, his best position is in a midfield three, but left of a midfield three is that advanced number eight.
And can I ask you this? And I ask you this, not raising personally, and who am I, but I just think he's very ordinary. Not raising Ander Herrera, but could you not go Herrera, Pogba and Matic? Is he not
he's not good enough.
Yeah, okay.
No, that's my point. Yeah. They need a better... You look at that, I might have used as an analogy Manchester City before, Ferrandino sitting... what about Matic as an alternative to Ferrandino? Absolutely, that stands up.
Stop tapping that desk there.
Pogba in that advanced number 8 position off the left. Yeah, could you argue him alongside David Silva? Yeah, absolutely. But what about De Bruyne? Who have they got in that central midfield area to match up to De Bruyne in a 3? Herrera? Fellaini? McTominay? No, they don't.
Okay.
If he's going to go to that 3, and I think that's desperately what he wants to do.
Right.
He can't do it at the moment. He needs to bring in a top quality player. And rather than spending a huge amount, not necessarily a fee on Sanchez, but certainly a big package in terms of fee and wages. For me, if they're going to spend big in the transfer window, they needed to spend it. They were crying out for a central midfield player of real quality, an attacking centre midfield player, rather than a player of Sanchez's undoubted quality, but an area of the pitch for me where they didn't actually need strengthening.
And so you say an attacking centre midfield player, not a defensive one.
No, not a defensive
one. Alongside Matic.
Yeah, I'm talking about somebody who can operate in those advanced areas, is comfortable around the opposition box, can create goals and kind of score goals, that type of player.
Is Matic not then still left on his own if you have another attacking player and Pogba in alongside him? In that three,
I'm not talking about bringing an attacking player who's just going to totally switch off when you haven't got possession of the ball.
Yeah.
But the advantage that you have when you play as a midfield three, when you drop into a defensive shape, you're two wide men dropping as well. So you've really got a block of five. And I'm not saying Pogba's going to turn into a better defensive midfielder in this system. He's not. But you know they're going to drop into a better defensive shape. They'll have a block of five across that midfield. Matic in the middle of it, maybe slightly deeper than the other two, Pogba and another. And then your two wide men dropping in the sides, whether that's Sanchez, Rashford, Martial, Lingard, whoever they are. Okay. I think that's an alternative Manchester United don't have at the moment.
And so is Pogba just incapable of learning how to play in a two? For the time being, like
he can play in the two.
But so when Mourinho's calling him over at Wembley and very clearly admonishing him, and then ultimately he says, "Right, I'm just going to take you off the way this game's going because you don't seem to be listening to me," and then the same happens again at Newcastle on Sunday. That would suggest to me, and like Graeme Souness is in the paper saying he just can't do it. He just can't control himself. Can't seem to hold a position when they don't have the ball. All that seems to point to Pogba not actually been able to.
Well, you need to specify what he can't do. And if I don't know if Graeme Souness is saying he doesn't trust him out possessed of football in terms of the defensive responsibilities, position, out possession.
That's
fine. That's one argument. But then the counterbalance would be, well, what does he bring to the team in possession of the football? And for me, he transforms the whole team. He can play as a deep midfielder, get on the ball, get torn, and get United travelling up the pitch. I think he's got a great range of passing, short and long distances. He can travel in possession of the football. So as an orthodox centre midfielder, in possession for me, absolutely fine. But his best strengths for me is when he gets in and around the opposition penalty box.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you want to see him.
Here's what Souness said. He called his positioning schoolboy. He said he's super individual ability. No one disagrees with that. There is much to admire about his technique when he's on the ball and his general athleticism. But if I'm playing today, I want to play against him because he's never where he should be when I'm in possession.
Yeah.
The criticism I have is that he doesn't understand the role when not in possession.
Yeah.
And I don't see any changes in his play from the day he arrived to now. With all his attributes as well, he should be a bigger goal threat, whatever about that. But that's the Souness point. That I Souness would love to play against this guy because out of possession, he doesn't have a clue where he's meant to be.
No, I think that's a fair point. But I think that's where a manager, you've got to look to the manager as well in terms of organisation on the training pitch and actually nailing down a system and a position within that for Pogba and actually telling what's expected of him. I think he played with a lack of discipline last year for Manchester United. He's got so much talent. He used to just run to wherever the ball, where he ran towards the ball, give him the ball, get on the ball. That type of performance we saw time and time again. He has to play a more disciplined performance for me, keep himself higher up the pitch and trust other players to get on the ball in deeper positions and find him with the ball. The problem Manchester United have, when they get the ball in deep positions, I'm talking across the back four, where it's the centre-half, two full-backs, they don't have any player there with the ability to play under pressure. I'm talking about centre-half to step into midfield, get his head up and actually pop a 10, 15, 20-yard ball into Paul Pogba's feet, higher up the pitch time and time again. Invariably, you look at Manchester United defenders, Joe, when they get the ball, it's a hopeful ball. It's a ball clipped through the air up to the centre forward, maybe a big diagonal. He doesn't get fed the ball too much into his feet. So I've got a bit of sympathy for Pogba when he drops a little bit deeper and looks to get the ball off people, because I think he looks around the pitch and thinks, I don't trust too many people in these deeper areas to get on the ball and actually give me the ball.
And one last point then, do you think maybe Mourinho has tried to work with him and his understanding of that position and it's not coming off for him, and maybe that's the reason he's been so publicly frustrated with him, and you know, he's just losing the plot with him at Wembley because he's at the end of his tether? Possible,
yeah, well, I think so. In that too, he's always going to have that problem when they're dominating possession, Joe, against maybe some of the lesser teams. Not so much a problem, but against the better teams, like we're looking at Spurs tonight, who like to dominate possession, the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, one or two others who have a fair chunk of possession of the football, then you're going to be nervous with Pogba operating in that central midfield area, people dropping off and wingers coming into the pockets in behind, making good decisions when to go to the ball, when to drop into the space, all those, when to track a run and when to pass him on. He doesn't get those decisions right often enough, but that in that particular system he's going to get exposed in an orthodox too, and that's why I'm saying I think going forward the answer for me for Manchester United is to find another player to operate in those central midfield there. I think that'd be a big help. That'd be a big factor in terms of solving the problem.
We'll see who they target over the next transfer window. So 83, or coming up in 83 minutes gone in Turin, it's Juve 2, Spurs 2. Son looks to be stripping off and coming on for Spurs. Meanwhile, still Man City 4-0 up on Basel. One last Manchester United point then was about the two centre-halves who Phil Neville called a disaster, Smalling and Jones. With your centre-half add-on, how highly do you rate either of them and how highly do you rate the partnership?
Well, I rate them highly rather than just taking a lazy option and saying they're both disasters. They're clearly not that. Well, he has to say then what's the alternative to Jones and Smalling, because I look at the centre-halves they have there, Boye, Rojo and Lindelof, who came into the football club.
He's not worked out
for,
at all,
for
has
big
he?
Money. No, exactly. So it's difficult. It's difficult to pick a natural pairing between those two. And to be honest with you, if I look at myself, I'd probably pick Chris Smalling, to be honest with you, as my first choice centre-half. I think as a natural pairing, Smalling alongside, whether it's Jones or Boye, probably one of those two. Probably Boye and Smalling for me would probably be my first choice. Boye's nice and aggressive, likes to make tackles, likes to get on the front foot. I don't think he's perfect. I still think he's a little bit rash in terms of decision making. I think he needs to get better in that respect for his game. I think Smalling predominantly is a good athlete. He moves well over the ground. Always, in some respects, he's happy taking a step back, covering the balls over the top. So potentially, maybe there might be a pairing there for me with Boye and Smalling. But certainly in the summer, it wouldn't surprise me if they go and buy big again in terms of maybe one top class centre half. But he tried to do that in the summer already, Mourinho. And it's no good saying Manchester United supporters or people in general saying, well, Smalling and Jones were there before he came to the football club. They're not his players. But Joe, he's going to be there 2 years in the summer, Mourinho. Anybody who's still at the football clubs 2 years into a manager's reign, they're your players.
Yeah.
It isn't 6 months into the club. He comes in, I don't rate him, but I can't get him out. Mm. 2 years now, he'll be there in the summer. They're all his players. 16, they're still there because he wants them there. So we just, I don't see that as a huge issue in terms of the two centre-halves. And like I said before, for me, get it right in that central midfield area. That helps. That helps with those couple of deficiencies that we're seeing across the defensive line. Fullbacks is another issue as well. I think that's another argument in terms of potentially who needs to come in, or maybe the answer's already at the football club. You probably had a conversation already about kind of Luke Shaw, Marino's handling of him as well. You're talking about how he's handled the Pogba situation of late, but how he's handled the Shaw situation for me is... I've been scratching my head.
A bit nasty, to be honest.
Oh yeah, well, I've never seen it before. I don't think I've ever seen it before. A manager publicly hang out a player to dry as he has done, and he almost humiliated the player, young player as well.
Well, even when Shaw had a good game, or Mourinho said the reason for it was that he was on his side.
He was giving feeding the information on the side.
I couldn't walk him through the game when he was in the far touchline. This kind of business was just nasty.
Yeah, but that's
strange.
And you can't make an argument. Some people make an argument, kind of tough love for me, but I'm not really having it. And he's done it to other players. He's done it to Smalling and Jones. He questioned them before the Europa game last year. I remember I was working on, they were both carrying injuries, I think maybe possibly from international duty with England. And he was asked about them, their availability in the press conference a few days before, and he kind of shrugs and said, "Well, if it was me, I'd play." Mm. That's what he said. Mm. You know, actually question their kind of almost integrity as players, as if, you know, they don't really want to be on the pitch. They don't want to go through the pain barrier for me or the club or the teammates. That's what he was putting out there about players. Now, that for me is not good management of players. Having been in a dressing room, I think any work environment, Joe, that doesn't go down well. No. You know, you can be the most hardened individual in the world, but nobody enjoys that. You don't even enjoy seeing your teammates treat like that. So that's really surprised me about Mourinho in terms of how he's actually managed, how he's man-managed some of the players while he's been at the football club. Yes, there has been progression while he's been there, but I'm not too sure. Even that new contract, Joe, that he was offered looked a little bit contrived to me. You know, Sanchez came in and suddenly he was given his New Year deal as if it's like, you know, we're putting it out there, everything's going well at United, we're going in the right direction here. Mourinho signed up, we got Sanchez. You know, we're
happy family.
Yeah, we're after City. That, you know, it's all good and it's all good here. That, you know, that type of thing. Where I'm not really buying it personally myself. I think he's still got a huge 6 months ahead of him, Mourinho.
Yeah.
In terms of potentially talking about him long term at Manchester United, I think the next kind of 6 months to a year certainly are going to dictate whether he's going to spend any kind of he's going to be there any time in the long term.
Yeah. This Juve Spurs game still very open. 4 minutes to go. Vertonghen there just made a good interception at the near post. It's a Juve corner. And Basel 0, Manchester City 4. We'll touch on one or two other talking points from the weekend. And Kevin Kilbane will join us. He's in Turin for TV3 this evening at full time in this game. Back in a second.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
Welcome back. So still Man City 4-0 up against Basel and Spurs 2-2 away in Turin. They're into the 90th minute in both games. On Manchester City, I mean, they're just making this whole thing look routine. I mean, they were always probably going to beat Basel, but the way they're just going about this away from home, brushing them aside, still playing the type of football we've seen them play all season. Yeah, I mean, they're as good a team as we've seen in the Premier League, really.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair comment. And I think it's the manager really driving it, Joe, isn't he? I mean, you look, the position they're in the league, you know, it's as good as done. You know, most situations you could make the argument maybe a bit of complacency setting in. It's a natural thing, but with Guardiola there, you just can't see it happening. He's so driven, you know, he just won't accept it. You know, week in, week out, despite the rotation in terms of personnel, you know, highly consistent in terms of performances, what he's getting from the group. And even the additions he's made in the window, I mean, I personally think it's the best thing that could have happened, Sanchez not going to that football club during the transfer window, because the only small weakness in that team was the left side of their central defence, the presence of Otamendi. You even saw a situation tonight, he actually should have given away a penalty against Bale. He's the only area I think potentially would certainly have stopped him from winning this competition this year. Mm. I think he can get at him. Lack of mobility, kind of rashness, 1v1 situations, you can't trust him. Mm. I think he's looked to rectify that with Laporte coming into the football club. He's still only 23, he's not the finished article, but what I've seen of him, I like him. And if Guardiola can get into his head, if he can adjust to the English game quickly, then when Manchester City put that first 11 out, there's no real weakness individually, kind of collectively, the team shape, the cohesion in the team. You're right, it's absolutely all there.
Yeah, we've just seen a shot of De Bruyne and Sterling both on the bench. Job done for the evening, smiling, happy out. So it's a perfect evening, really, for Manchester City. And it's turned into a pretty good evening for Spurs against Juventus, all told. 2-2, last minute or two. Wanyama is on, Eriksen off, who's been very good again this evening.
Yeah, he has. But that's an interesting one, Wanyama, Joe, for me. We spoke about maybe decisions before the game. I think that was another decision he had to make, Wanyama, for me. It'd be very interesting in a week's time if it finishes at 2-2. Going into the game at Wembley, whether he seriously considers bringing Wanyama into the team. Because of the three players in there, him, Dembele and Eric Dier, for me, he's the most defensive-minded. He's the one you trust most to hold his position, to screen the back four, to break up opposition attacks. He's got the mobility physically. He's strong as anybody. So I wonder if the temptation's there maybe to make that small change, but to bring in Wanyama next week in a game where it looks as if they won't have to open up, get too cavalier in their approach. Tottenham, whether he just maybe leans towards it, maybe a slightly more defence-minded player in that central midfield area. I mean, he hasn't got a weakness in there, but decisions like that can be absolutely key just in terms of which combinations you need at any particular time during the course of the time. They're in a different situation now, Spurs, than they were prior to the game, haven't got the 2-2 draw. So yeah, fascinating to see if Pochettino, how he sees it, and if he makes just tinkers ever so slightly with the personnel for the return leg.
Yeah, it's gone full time in Turin, and it's gone full time in Switzerland as well. And the context for this 2-2 draw this evening for Spurs is that Juventus in their previous 16 games had conceded just one goal. So Spurs have put two on them and really caused them a huge amount of trouble. They'll be feeling pretty confident about things. One thing before we get Kevin Kilbane up, who's there, and he makes his way to some kind of quiet area. We haven't had John in a while, and Arsenal had what a lot of people felt was a really good transfer window. Mkhitaryan came in, Aubameyang came in. Lacazette's injured now, actually, is the latest news on Arsenal. But do you feel like Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang and Wilshere coming back in recent months has taken Arsenal any further along? Is it any great development for Arsenal, or is it still the same old story there?
Well, I think it's put them in a better position. Sanchez out and Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang in,
yeah,
puts them in a bit stronger position. Okay. Strengthens Arsenal in the forward areas of the pitch. But as we know, the inherent weaknesses in the side are still there across the defensive line, and obviously the dynamic in that central midfield there. We're talking about United haven't got it quite right at the moment. Mm. You could say the same with Arsenal.
Who do Arsenal? So Wilshere, is he now a nailed on holding midfielder for Arsenal? Like, who have they really got?
Well, the beauty about Wilshere is he
do everything.
He can play as a holding midfielder. He can play in a three in advance. He can actually play as a 10. I've seen him play this year in Europa. Brilliant as a 10 as well. Yeah. So for me, he generally has to play. But this is the problem Arsenal have now, kind of imbalancing the team. The ideal scenario of bringing Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang in, Joe, would be to play them together. Aubameyang is a 9, Mkhitaryan is a 10, as they played at Dortmund and created havoc there.
Yeah.
But to do that, Ozil gets pushed out onto the sides, which is where he doesn't want to play. That's been the friction between him and Wenger for a long period of time. He wants to play on the inside in those central positions. So yeah, on paper, you've got some great options there. Lacazette, Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, Ozil, etc. But in terms of finding that bit of cohesion in the team, as Manchester City have done with Guardiola, I'm struggling to see it, because Ozil doesn't want to play on the flanks. Mm. Where does Wilshere play? Can you play Wilshere in a 2? You're talking about playing, you can't play Pogba in a 2. Can you play Wilshere in a 2? I'm not so sure.
Right.
As good as he is.
Any reason?
Well, just for the same reasons as Pogba, in terms of maybe sense and danger, you know, given that kind of defensive solidity, out of possession of the football, and not having, and he hasn't got somebody of the stature of Matic alongside him as Pogba has. You're looking really at Elneny, certainly not Xhaka. I mean, Xhaka for me literally has to go out the door in the summer. It just has been nowhere near enough him coming into the football club. So yeah, so Arsenal in stronger position, there, but still way off where they need to be to challenge for a title.
Yeah, okay. We will go to Turin now. It's finished 2-2. We've been keeping a close eye on this game all evening. Kevin Kilbane, are you there?
Hi, Joseph. How are you keeping?
Oh, good. Crystal clear. So, what a game, first of all. I mean, that first half in particular was bloody good stuff.
Oh, what a game. I mean, you know, you look for a real quality matchup tonight, and he certainly feared for Spurs after the first 10 minutes, but after that, Moussa Dembele was just sensational. Christian Eriksen then came into the game starting having an influence, Joe, and throughout, Tottenham are unlucky not to have won this game because they just played superbly throughout the match.
Evening, Kev. I won't take offence. You didn't say hello to me at the start of the show.
I didn't know you're on, Ken. I forgot. You never would have known from social media, actually.
Kev, Joe was seriously doubting Spurs early in the game, 2-0 down. But you got that feel, the type of game that was, the open nature of the game. Yeah. Kev, that as long as Spurs kept their calm and kept their composure, they could certainly find a way back into this game. They dominated possession of football, and like you're saying, Dembele in particular, you know, had the bravery to get on the ball and drive his team forward and start finding those players higher up the pitch. A lot of talk about Chiellini before the game, the world class nature of the player, how good he's been. But I think even he found it difficult tonight in terms of the quality of the Spurs rotation and personnel high up the pitch.
Well, you know what, you're looking maybe in Juve's midfield, certainly defensive midfield, you're looking at someone like Khedira. Game totally bypassed him tonight. And you say with Dembele, Kenny, what he did, he just, as you say, started to be a bit braver. But what happened earlier on, although they were having a lot of possession, Spurs, they weren't really creating any opportunities. And of course, yeah, Juve went 2-0 up. But the first 20, 25 minutes of the game, they had a lot of ball but weren't creating too much. But what Dembele did, he was beating that initial press. So whether it was coming from Mandzukic or Douglas Costa, he had the ability to beat that one player. Yeah. And all of a sudden then the midfield opened up, it stretched. It freed up Eriksen. He started to get Eriksen into the game because he was passing forward quickly. And that's why they started to get a bit of joy. And you mentioned there the open nature of the game. You certainly don't expect that from Juve, given the fact is that coming into the game, one goal conceded in 16 games. They were unragged. And defensively, they looked very, very poor tonight. And as I said before, Tottenham could have won the game. Tottenham perhaps should have won the game. In a little bit rash, Serge Aurier giving the penalty away just on the stroke of half-time, given how well they played in the first half. And then the second half, Tottenham just continued how they left off. It was a really, really good performance.
That's a very interesting point about Dembele beating the press, because that's gone out of fashion a touch. I doubt in the academies they are teaching midfielders to try and beat another player in the middle of midfield. And actually, with fitness levels what they are and tactics what they are as well, and everybody's so clued in and well organised, it's one of the few ways to really open up a game now. And so I think it's a really nice thing to see a midfielder taking on another midfielder. Obviously, it's high risk in places, but it can completely open up a game.
I think you're spot on. I think it is definitely high risk. But when you've got the ability of Dembele, you certainly... His passing ability, yes, he's excellent, but it's the way that he manipulates the ball. You know, it's so effortless the way that he can move it from his left to his right foot.
His upper body and, strength as well, Kev, isn't it?
Amazing, exactly, he just gets his arm across.
Yeah.
And what he was doing then, Ken, you said that the upper body strength. As soon as he was getting the ball, he was bypassing that initial press. Usually it was coming from Douglas Costa, who was the one that was stepping into it. He'd just brush him aside, and then it opened up. And I said, Khedira, for all Khedira that we've looked at him at Bayern Munich, even at Juve over the last few years, he went off injured in the game, but he just couldn't cope with the pace. He couldn't cope with the movement. Dele Alli then was starting to have more of an influence on the game. I mean, Kane missed the sitter before he actually scored. And you've probably seen the chance, the header. And then he took his goal brilliantly, he did. But overall, the chances then started to come. And Chiellini and Bernatti, particularly the two centre-halves, they were getting dragged wide. They didn't like... We know full well, certainly watching Chiellini. Chiellini's brilliant when he's defending crosses going into the penalty area. But when he gets dragged out into full-back positions, he's quite poor. And I think he's quite poor when he gets in one-on-one positions as well, when people are able to run at him. Kane was able to do that. Eriksen was able to do that. And that's where they started to get the joy. It was it was great to watch Spurs tonight. Yeah, it really was.
I think they missed the ball a lot, Kev, Juventus. I watched Juventus play early in this season with the ball there playing just off Higuain, and incidentally Spurs' form maybe of a couple of months ago, and they were struggling a little bit, individual players out of form, Dembele out of the team at that particular time, Ali and Eriksen a little bit indifferent in terms of the quality of their performances. All of a sudden, 2 months forward, Dybala out of the team, Spurs getting some key players back into a little bit of form and really really looking the part, that they're coming into the kind of business end of the season.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, you know what they did, Ken, as well? They probably missed Matuidi as well. His energy levels, able to get box to box. But I totally agree. He was the one lost before the game where you look at that link man. Because Pjanic, when he was able to get comfortable possession, he was getting his head up and If he was giving it Mandzukic, if he was giving it Douglas Costa or even Bernadeschi, it kept on bouncing off them. They kept on giving the ball away needlessly. But Dybala, he's got that real quality that keeps hold of the ball for them. And they just weren't able to have sustained possession, and it was continuous flow of attacks for Spurs. And I mean, I just think that particularly Dembele, he was the standout player. I know that he has been excellent for Tottenham under Pochettino, but tonight, I think he really showed it at the top level how good he actually is.
He's an interesting one. Barney Roné wrote a piece in The Guardian, and he hasn't played football, Kenny, so I know you won't rate his opinion, but I'm going to push on anyway.
Oh, that's untrue.
Has Kenny been at it tonight?
I take everybody's opinion on face value, Joe. You know that. Regardless.
Even when I was right about Tiger Woods earlier, he still was saying, yeah, maybe. That was the nicest thing he said to me all evening.
Don't make it about you, Joe. Don't make the show about you.
Fair comment was the nicest thing he said all evening.
Was it? Yeah, but it doesn't surprise me. Really.
Barney Roné made the point that Dembele is an interesting case in that if you were to look at football stats, Dembele's stats are terrible. He has no assists, and he doesn't feature prominently in any area of the game. Ground covered, goals scored.
Ground covered.
And all of the stuff that people might look at, the measurables.
Sure,
but he made the point, it was after the Arsenal game at the weekend, he made the point that actually There doesn't seem to be any great way to measure Dembele's brilliance. That he's an absolutely fantastic footballer, and there's no stats which show that.
I could hear Kenny's reaction there when he said to ground covered. If you look at him tonight, ground covered, I'd say probably covered more ground than any other player on the pitch. I think the weak link, and I still stand by it, I think Eric Dier is the weak link in Spurs' side. I think when he gets in comfortable possession, I think he dwells on the ball, he doesn't move it quick enough. I think Wanyama's a better option for Spurs. But Dembele alongside him tonight, he was the one that was able to, at times even, you saw Douglas Costa, a couple of runs that he made when he was able to get in possession, getting away from defenders with his pace. Dembele was the one that was getting back goal side, and again, as Kenny spoke about earlier, his body strength getting across his man to stop any form of attack. So I don't necessarily buy that. I think because he's not having an influence further up the pitch because of assists and everything, because he's the one that's starting the attacks for Spurs, so he's not really going to be that man
that's the big deficiency in his game, and his shooting is absolutely, it's horrible, it's horrendous. When he gets to within 25 toward the edge, you can hear the opposition players scream, let him shoot, almost. His shooting is that bad,
right?
And in terms of that really quality delivery that really opens up defence, not so much. But Spurs don't need that.
Yeah.
With the players they have operating, those four players high up the pitch, Kane, Ali, generally Son and Eriksen, they don't need it. They need somebody just to get them from those defensive areas up into that last third of the pitch.
So he's perfect for Spurs.
Yeah, with their passing, or more so with him, his dribbling ability. And he's the only one, Kev, and probably I'd mention Wiltshire as well. Wiltshire's probably not as dynamic and as athletic as Dembele, but in terms of actually dribbling the ball, taking the ball and going past people and taking your team up the pitch in possession of the ball, there's very few of them, and Dembele is obviously one of them.
I think he probably sensed that tonight, though. Just to make that last point, I think he probably sensed it, that Juve were kind of trying to force Spurs wide tonight, and when Ben Davies or Serge Aurier were getting forward, they were putting crosses in, and I think for the first 20 minutes it was comfortable for Juve dealing with it, but it was just that little bit of movement from Dembele to beat that man, and that's when the game opened up. So I think he took it upon himself to do that, and it was excellent to watch.
You've raised my next point for me, Serge Aurier, who has some horrific mistakes in him. He's made several already this season on the ball, tonight off the ball. I mean, to lunge in like that was heartbreaking for the penalty.
Yeah. Given how they got themselves back into the game, and you're going in 2-1 down from being 2-0 down so early on in the game, and then to do that, and you think, you know, you could almost see it. You're watching it happen, and you're thinking, no.
Well, Kenny saw him about to do it. Kenny literally said, don't dive in. And I looked up he went to dive in.
But to give him credit, he done great, because he actually was 5 yards wrong side. He got done initially. Sanchez didn't defend the situation particularly well. He got done nutmegs. Costa got around him, but you look at the ground that he made up, his recovery was outstanding, Kevin. He actually got shoulder to shoulder with Costa. They're similar statures, but he done the hard work. All he needed to do was just protect his space, then just again get his arm across the Juventus player and just lean on him and actually show him away from the goal. But just that decision making again, we're talking about key moments, you know, keeping a bit of composure and making the right decision.
We're kind of 2 minutes left territory, Kev, so actually the point to finish on is, do you now make Spurs really big favourites here, is this things finally balanced?
You've got to ask him a harder question than that, Joe. Are Spurs going through?
Are Spurs going through, Kev?
Spurs are going through, Joseph. That's what I'm saying to you. Yes, but I'll make a really bold statement here tonight on air that I do fancy Spurs to actually get through that. How's that for a bold statement, just to finish you off? I think if you look at it across the 90 minutes, Spurs dominated the game. They were the better side, created. And I know that, you know, Juve missed the penalty, but Tottenham just outplayed them. They outclassed them. So, yeah, you have to go with Spurs.
I think it's an amazing thing, really. I mean, this is Champions League finalists just last May and haven't been beaten at home. I know tonight's a draw.
But still not done, Joe. I'd agree with Kevin. I fancy them before the tie to go through. But just adding what Kevin was talking about, we spoke about it ourselves before Kevin came on, any changes potentially for the second leg. And I still think it's that Wanyama decision in centre midfield, Kevin, in terms of just to give the team a little bit more protection, just to guard against that kind of counter-attack from Juventus, or very wily operators. And I know they're not kind of set up for the counter-attack. They haven't got a huge amount of pace in the team. Costa's the only one who can potentially can break out from back to front. Maybe Matuidi, I don't know if he's available next week. But for me, the presence of Wanyama alongside Dembele, some people might say, a little bit of a backward step, Dora more comfortable in possession, more progressive with his passing.
I don't think he is, though. I don't see it. Ken, I don't even see that. I think he dwells too much on the ball. And I know you've probably got JP in your ear now telling you to get off it.
No, you've had 45 seconds, Kev.
Yeah, but I think Dier slows the game down for Spurs. I think he's at times he's probably negative with his passing when he goes backwards too often for me. And I personally, from a personal point of view, I think he slows the game down for Spurs. I think Wanyama's a better footballer in general.
Wow. Okay. I think personally, I'd probably disagree with you slightly. And so I think he's a better range of passing, or I think he's the better footballer. But in terms of that kind of defensive mindset, Kevin, mobility to get around the pitch, make tackles, break up opposition attacks, stop counters before they can hurt you. For me, Wanyama is the better option. Juventus are still dangerous going into this game next week. So probably similar to you. I know he's coming back from injury, but my temptation would be to slide Wanyama in alongside Dembele in that central midfield area.
Okay. Kev, safe home. We will see you in studio tomorrow. Thanks so much for this evening.
Brilliant. Cheers, lads. All the best.
Kev Rivadeci. There, who was... Arrivederci.
Come on, Joe. I was waiting for you. You're a cultured man. You're a cultured operator.
Well, I'd surprise you. Do you speak any language?
Have you covered Italy? Did you cover Italy, Ireland, the weekend?
Yeah.
Surely you must have done a little... few little Italian.
I didn't actually
throwaway comments.
I didn't have the cojones to do it.
All right,
because you get your accent wrong, you just sound like an idiot.
As I did.
Well, that's for you to say, not me. We'll take a short break. Final thoughts from Kenny in just a second.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
I keep saving you.
I'm not helping you out here. No countdown, no nothing.
That's about three times I've saved your bacon tonight. Consider we started the whole evening talking about bacon, and here we are, finishing up with bacon, Kenny. So
sly bacon, as I was called.
So final thoughts then on the evening. Manchester City are safely through already. Spurs, you're making favourites. I wonder what chance of Spurs or Manchester City winning the Champions League outright. Who's your favourite at the moment? And we've got Real Madrid PSG tomorrow, which is just going to be great stuff.
No, I shouted up PSG just by whisk at the start of the tournament, so I'm going to stick with them.
Okay.
But Manchester City hasn't surprised me greatly. Did I think they're going to be 16 points clear at this stage of the season, maybe playing football to the level that they are? Maybe not, but I still felt, even with the presence of Otamendi, they still had the potential to go a long way in the Champions League semi-final, potentially final. I certainly wouldn't have thought, I can see him winning it, but the form that they're in, how they've improved as the season's gone on, the additions that have come in, Laporte, I've spoken about already, if he can settle in quickly in that area of the pitch, they're almost there with PSG. But I'd still lean towards PSG. I can't make a strong argument why. They're not far better than Manchester City. But it's just more of a gut feeling. I just maybe feel as it just may be their year, PSG. Well, I could be proved to be a fool.
Well, I guess we'll see tomorrow. No, it's all beautifully set up. So you'll be in Air Sport tomorrow for that game. Enjoy that. It was, as usual, a massive pleasure having you in studio this evening. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers, Joe. Sorry about the spilt tea, coffee.
We talked a lot about
food.
Send me the bill. We will, yeah. We talked a lot about football, a lot about food this evening. It was good. Good night.
Food and football. There you go. Remember lying back, pillows on me bed late after, and looking up the top of my wardrobe, stacked with boxes of Morro bars. Batch loaf, not the heels. And butter's another thing. Over the last couple of years, I've gone back, because I wouldn't have tasted butter for about 15, 20 years. Yeah, bread. Bread was a big thing for me when I went over to England. I missed it. Vienna rolls.
Toast.
I have rings of pudding used to sausages. My ma used to, they used to be packed in the luggage compartment on a.
Surely they did sausages well.
Right now.
English sausages would.
Their Irish recipe, which is a nowhere near, is it?
I've had sausages of, you know, Grim Stag Weekend over in the UK, and they tasted okay. No.
If they're sausages in a Grim Stag Weekend, Joe.
Exactly.
You want to be able to savour the sausage.
Might bring back the batch. The batch cut a big heel, open up, eat the heel, flip it over, go for the heel down the bottom, wrap it back up again, flip it back over, put it back in the bread bin. So nobody's aware of it until they dug down right at the end. Although there's something nice about toast, putting the butter, if a cold slab of butter on top and just watching it work its way across the toast slowly.
So true.
As God intended. No, just Vienna rolls, that fresh bread, not going to the Super Queen, the bread coming out. Breathe it in.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.